We have come today to lesson 8 regarding marriage and family, the second version of these particular lessons under this title. And lesson 8, an important subject, preparing for marriage, which we will get to in just a few minutes after we note what we covered in the last lesson. Another important lesson about children, that children are to learn and be trained to obey their parents in the Lord and to honor their parents, even providing financial aid when parents are unable to provide for themselves. And that is most important. It is a fundamental part of what God expects and demands of those of us who are children and still have living parents. Now we turn to this lesson today, the first part of a two-part lesson on preparing for marriage. God created marriage for the good of humanity. That is, that this is what is best for God's creation, and God knows what is best and knows how He has designed us, and marriage is best for us that we may fulfill the purpose that God has given to us upon the earth to honor Him. The normal course of most men and women is that they will marry. That is borne out, even though it may be decreasing some in some countries, but for the most part it is the case. Few will be prepared, though, for marriage, and some will be more prepared than others, but there will be many who will not be prepared for the responsibilities that marriage brings, and there will be many marriages, unfortunately, that fail and do not continue as God would have them continue until the death of one of the spouses occurs. The perversion of marriage and the undermining of parental authority are rampant in our society, causing confusion, causing disruption and disturbance in the home and conflict. And therefore we study so that we can avoid these things and walk in the path that God has called upon us to walk, that one day we may be with Him eternally. Sadly, many, even Christian parents, fail to properly prepare their children for the responsibilities of marriage, and this is the basic purpose of the home, that children are brought up to serve God, and in serving God, they are brought up to be prepared to enter into marriage, and that is why the home exists. Sometimes the home, though, is so terrible that children do anything to get out of it, even turning to a bad marriage with dreadful consequences. That happens many times. And they go from one disaster to another. The Christian home, though, is designed to prepare children who eventually become adults for marriage, and that is done by preparing them to serve God above all. But let's start out by noting the fact that marriage is the normal course of life, and God has designed marriage for man and woman, not woman and woman, and not man and man. Genesis 2 and verse 22, in this right on the sixth day of creation, after God created man, and then He created woman for the purpose of helping man, and created marriage in which they should live. Genesis 2:22, the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." That is, they shall be in the exclusive union of marriage together, unified together, not only sexually, but spiritually together, serving God, united together, hopefully following the Word of God. That is God's design for marriage. And God is the creator of marriage and not any particular society. But that societies do follow marriage indicates the existence of God and indicates that God is the one who initially designed marriage, although even among various nations, including our own nation in the United States, there are perversions of marriage, such as easy divorce for no reason at all, such as leading to adulterous marriage that are legal but are sinful in the sight of God if we still have a living spouse to whom God has bound us, and the homosexual so-called marriage, the so-called homosexual marriage that is a complete perversion where men and men and women claim to be married with legal sanction in our country and several others. But God condemns all of this, witness Sodom and Gomorrah, that have been destroyed by fire and brimstone, and God is still condemning the act of homosexuality even today. Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is to be held in honor, that is, between one man and one woman, among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And so God will judge fornicators and adulterers, and many marriages and situations that people are in today, God condemns. And so in order to avoid that, first we need to teach children that they should become Christians, and we do that by teaching them the gospel about what Jesus has done to save us and how he came into the world to die for our sins and was raised the third day by God from the dead, appeared to his apostles and other witnesses, and then 40 days later he ascended into heaven, where he is now ruling at the right hand of God. 10 days later, the apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, in Acts chapter 2, preached the gospel for the first time, declaring Jesus as Lord and Christ. By the fulfilled prophecies, by the miracles of Jesus that he performed by his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension into heaven, by his appearing to them and other witnesses. And in Acts 2 and verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And they, the crowd of thousands of Jews, had agreed that Jesus should have been crucified, that he was a blasphemer, that he was a lawbreaker, a Sabbath breaker, that he was not one that could ever be the Messiah, the anointed King of God. But now they realize he's not only the Messiah, but he is Savior, dying for our sins, that he is ruler over heaven and earth, reigning from heaven, not from Jerusalem, but over Jerusalem and all the earth from heaven, the same that he is doing today. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do to be saved? We are condemned before God. We are enemies of God. We thought we were doing right. We have been agreeing with the crucifixion of Jesus because they condemned Jesus. But they were the ones, and we are the ones to be condemned by our sins. Peter said to them, verse 38, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. In other words, he told them to repent. Now that you believe in Jesus, change your mind about your sins. That's what repentance means. Turn from sin to God. Change your mind. I'm willing to do his will, whatever it is, and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins by the authority of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And at the end of Acts chapter 8, as Jesus was preached to the Ethiopian eunuch who came from Jerusalem, going back to his home in Africa. When Jesus was preached, he confessed that he believed in Jesus as the Son of God and was baptized, immersed in water, fully immersed in water, not sprinkled, not water poured on him, but submerged, dipped under the water, for the forgiveness of his sins in the name of Jesus. So we are to believe in Jesus, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Jesus as God, the Son of God, Lord of heaven and earth, and be baptized, immersed in water by the authority of Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. That is how we become Christians, according to Acts chapters 2 and 8, and that is the only way to become a Christian. And they were added together in one body, Jesus' saved body, his church. And that's what we must do today. And what did they follow after they were baptized, after they received the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit? Acts 2 and verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, sharing together in those things God would have them do, to the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, the weekly memorial of Jesus' death, looking forward to his coming again, and to prayer. So they learned how to worship, they learned how to live as Christians, they learned the apostles' teaching, they were devoted to that, which we have contained in the New Testament today, and all writings that are perversions of the New Testament, that are the denominational creeds and writings, and all perversions that claim to be further revelations of the beyond the New Testament, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, all of these are to be rejected. The Catholic writings, the Baptist writings, the Methodist writings, which elevate their traditions above the Word of God, all of them are to be rejected. And as we fall short as Christians, which we often do, and sin against God, just like Simon, who had become a Christian in Samaria, the former magician that turned to God, was baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, and then he coveted the power of the Holy Spirit to bestow miraculous gifts upon others by the laying on of hands. That could only be done by the apostles. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, therefore repent of this wickedness of yours, that is, Simon, turn from your covetous heart, and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. Turn from your heart, that you may be forgiven. And this is what we must do as Christians. This is what we must teach children who have become Christians. That we not become proud and stubborn and fail to repent and ask God to forgive us of our sins as often as we need as Christians. And the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us. Acts 8, verse 18 through 24. We read verse 22 here. 1 John chapter 1, they tell us these things, that we are to continue to confess and repent of our sins so that we may continue to be in God's grace as Christians. And if we fail to do that and become stubborn and go back to the world, we can be lost, and we will be lost, even though we were once saved by the blood of Jesus in baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. Then we teach children to have a Christ-like attitude, become like Him, and put God and others ahead of self. Sacrifice to serve God and to serve others in the way that God would have us do. Philippians 2, verse 5, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So we are to have that sacrificial love for each other, for God first and for one another, and not put forth our selfish desires and interests ahead of others. Teach children to pray daily, depending upon God to strengthen and help us in all of our daily situation, and that we may be content with serving Him, whatever we have, in a way of material things, whether much or little. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Meditate upon the Word of God. Not fill our minds with the corruption of this world, especially many times what is peddled, what is presented in the social media, and even in materials that are taught in the schools. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. They desired to help the Apostle Paul financially, and now they are fulfilling that. even when he is in house arrest in Rome, awaiting trial before the Roman emperor, falsely accused by the Jews. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. So Paul says, whatever I have, I've learned to be content in serving God, whatever my circumstances may be, materially speaking. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so we are to develop that Christ-like mind, and also we are to teach children not only to do that, but to develop godly friends that faith may be strengthened, rather than worldly friends who will destroy our faith. We need to reach out to them as Christians, but we need our faith strengthened by godly friends, those peers who also are Christians in the way that the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals, so they will lead you away from the Word of God, those ones that are still against God, especially friends that can be deceptive. Jesus said, John 15:12, the night before he died, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. But he's talking about dying on the cross for them and for us. That was the greatest love that can be shown for a friend, and we are to be sacrificing ourselves for our friends as well, so that they may be encouraged to continue in faith. And we hopefully will teach our children to look for friends that are Christians who are willing to sacrifice to help them continue in the faith as well. Proverbs 27:5, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. That is, don't look for friends that will just tell you how wonderful you are. Look for friends that will rebuke you and tell you the truth when necessary to help you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. So many friends will tell you how great you are, but they don't care even if you are destroyed spiritually. And that is not what we want for our children. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And so we want friends that can help us and will stick with us even when we go through difficult times. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, especially stimulating us with spiritual teaching and example. That is what we need from our friends and from the friends of our that we hope our children can develop. Then we are to learn to provide for our future family, a most important thing. Many enter marriage unprepared to make a living for their families, and this is disaster. This is disaster. This can result in financial and emotional strain that often tests the fragile, immature love of a couple, that is love that is not been tested by fire, but it's tested early and severely because of financial difficulty and not having any money for even the necessities of life. It is terrible. Before marriage, parents should encourage and teach their children, especially young men, to learn a skill that they can use to provide for their families. I say especially for young men because men are to be the leaders of their family and hopefully be able to provide for the most part for their family, maybe with the wife supplementing things partially, although her duty will be most of that time spent in raising children and managing the home. Learn to find something to do that does not conflict with your Christian faith and priorities, like worshiping God with a local church. That is most important. A lot of people learn how to get a job, but their job takes them away from worship every Sunday, which is self-defeating and which is spiritually defeating, because we are not to habitually abandon worship, but we are to make worship a priority, meeting with a local church to glorify God and to build each other up in the faith. Whatever you do, do your work as for the Lord. They are to be trained that don't do work half-heartedly, but do it as if we are serving the Lord, which we are, because He has commanded us to work and provide for our families. Young girls should also learn some skill that they might need to use in the future, but if possible, not to the neglect of managing the home and raising children, which is of paramount importance. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, but if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Ephesians 4:28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. So we are to learn to provide for those in the family as we go through, and teach children to do the same, and teach them early so that they develop that and have something in mind even before they are married. Colossians 3 and verse 22, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. So for us, it would be obey your employees or employers as you are obeying God. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, because the Lord has commanded you to do that. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. And so if the Lord commands us to do wrong, to sin against God, then we must stand up even if it costs us to lose our job. But as far as possible, if we can do the job without compromising our faith, then do it as if we are serving the Lord, which we are. Not half-heartedly and not lazily or grudgingly. But don't let our job get in the way of our worship, and this is what we must impress upon our children. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, all these material things, will be added to you. Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so let us not get into the habit, sinful habit, of rejecting and abandoning worship to pursue material things, because that is going to cause our downfall. The Lord says that it is sinful for us to do that. Preparing for marriage, we need to realize that marriage is the normal course of life for most men and women. Become and live as a Christian, and teach children that they may serve God above all according to the Scripture. Develop godly friends so that faith may be strengthened. Learn to provide for your future family. That is, those material things that we are to provide. And do so without compromising faith or deprioritizing or setting aside in a regular basis worship. We're going to stop there because we've come to the end of our first part on this lesson. We hope to conclude it in a few days, Lord willing. But we're going to encourage all to respond to this lesson and become a Christian if we have not done so, whether we be a parent or a child who is old enough to understand the gospel, that we turn to God as the Scriptures indicates that we should do, and not follow the traditions of men. And when we look into Acts chapters 2 and 8, we remind ourselves again that when we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that He is God and He died for our sins after living a sinless life, was raised from the dead on the third day, appeared to witnesses for 40 days, and then ascended back to heaven, where He is ruling at the right hand of God as King and Priest, Lord of all. When we believe Him to be the Son of God, God, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, God's anointed King, then we are to repent of our sins, change our mind about our sins, confess our faith in Jesus as the Son of God before witnesses, and be baptized, immersed in water by the authority of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. At that point, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us of our sins. That is when we become a child of God. Acts chapters 2 and 8. And then we are to abide in the apostles' teaching, the New Testament, and meet with those who seek to do the same every first day of the week, and even more if possible, worshiping in a way that is pleasing to God. And as often as we sin against God, we are to acknowledge our sins, repent of them, pray to God for forgiveness, and in many cases ask others to pray with us. Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 24, 1 John chapter 1. We would encourage all, whatever our condition is, to respond to the gospel before it is ever too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.